Our second scripture lesson comes to us today from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, and we will begin at verse 19. Hear the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, and although the doors were shut and locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's start with the grief. We meet the disciples, it's Easter night, but for them, it's still Good Friday. They know Jesus' body is no longer in the tomb. There's murmurings that Jesus has been seen. There are rumors that the Romans are coming for them. They huddle in a secret room, shattered. We might expect them to be celebrating like we do on Easter morning, but instead, we find them huddled, swaddled together, locked. And I imagine door upon door is locked. They are afraid for their own lives, fearful of very uncertain futures, and I think in their heartache, disciples are also afraid of Jesus in their grief. They have failed him so miserably. Peter has denied him, and they've all deserted him, and every one of them has abandoned him. And perhaps the last person that they want to meet is Jesus, risen from the dead, to confront them with their failures. And so, what do? They lock themselves in, and they lock him out. But here he comes to stand among his friends. A tomb can't keep him in. A bolted door can't keep him out. He undresses. He reveals this damaged body, the injuries, the lacerations, where he's been impaled, torn hands and very shredded feet. Have you ever met anybody that's been locked in? You don't have to knock very hard on any heart to find someone who won't let themselves out. Have you ever been locked in? Locked in or locked out? Apparently, Jesus hasn't. There are no walls thick enough to block his entrance. Joining the disciples in their safe house, he comes to them. He's not an apparition. He's not a ghost. Just like meeting the disciples on the Emmaus Road that Michael just talked about, he is no vision who pops in for a little visit to say hi. He comes to his grieving and very panicked friends with the simple peace. Peace. Peace be with you. Another word for peace is shalom. Shalom is a very multi-dimensional word. Even in the Hebrew, when you read it this way, it moves around. And our friend, Rabbi Adam Feldman, Dave and my very good friend, maybe some of you too, he taught us about shalom. He died in 2019, and we knew him for some years. He was the senior rabbi at the Jewish Center just down the street. He said, shalom means completeness, wholeness, safety, and well-being. Shalom is the spirit of soundness, a fullness of heart, of rest, of harmony. I think of shalom being like a great Sunday afternoon nap. I'll do that this afternoon. Shalom. Its root means to be perfect and full. Shalom. Shalom be with you, says Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding be with you. Shalom will keep your hearts and your minds in me. Peace I give you and rest I give you. And shalom you will find for the stillness of your souls and your grief. My peace I leave with you. My shalom I give you, not as the world gives, but as I give. And Thomas misses the whole darn thing. We have seen the Lord, they bellow, jumping up and down, acting like wonderful, crazy, happy people. But Thomas is not persuaded even by that. Thomas is not convinced. He uses this word over and over. Unless, it's like he's giving a lecture. Unless I see his hands, put my hand in his side, unless, blah, blah, blah. Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand and his side, I will not believe, cannot believe, refuse to believe, unless I see, unless I witness, unless. And of course, that statement has landed him with the perpetual title of Doubting Thomas, Mr. Cynic, the Prince of Suspicion, Sir Thomas the Skeptic. But that's a misnomer. Really, it is. He gets a bad rap, our Thomas. We all need time to recognize our Lord. The disciples themselves didn't recognize him until he showed them his body. One preacher puts it like this: Thomas is first and foremost not so much a doubter, but a pragmatist. We forget that when Jesus said back in some chapters, "I go to prepare a place for you, and you know the way I am going," it is Thomas that says, truthfully, "Lord, we do not know the way. How can we know the way?" And we forget that when Jesus speaks of going back to Jerusalem, it is Thomas who knows that Jesus is going to his death. Thomas is no fool. He counts the cost before opening his mouth. He counts the cost before deciding. And he really boldly urges others to let us also go, he says, that we may die with him. Now, does that sound like a doubter? Not so much. These first words of shalom that Jesus breathes on us are no band-aid for grief or no remedy for fright. They're no medicine in time of terror. Jesus, balm in the word shalom, is a balm of total and absolute wholeness. More than that, shalom is a promise of strength. You see, the disciples have locked themselves together in fear, but Jesus will send them out in faith. And that kind of shalom, that kind that Jesus breathes all over us, brings a respite, maybe for a moment, maybe for longer, a respite for our grief, a fortification from our fear, an establishment of some power when we feel helpless and hopeless. Isn't it just like Jesus to bless us with an upside-down kingdom where his vulnerability surpasses any lingering rage that we might have for a bunch of disciples who have been acting like cowards and hide out in a locked room? I mean, get it together, you bunch of wimps. Don't you just want to shake them? Don't they know what they've just been through? Don't you just want to shake us sometimes? Don't we know what we've just been through? But here he comes. He exposes himself and walks right in and disrobes. I mean, he gets naked and he reveals this broken, tattered, shredded body, cuts and bruises, ripped hands, sliced feet, and what does he say? Receive the Holy Spirit. Shalom. Receive. Shalom. My shroud is gone, he says. Now take off yours. My tomb is behind me. Now come out of yours. No more hiding, no more burial, no more shame, no more guilt, no more regrets, because, my friends, at the center of the Easter gospel, there is the great truth that Christ Jesus comes looking for us. Doesn't that make your head explode? The center of the Easter gospel is that our Lord comes looking for us. And when we allow ourselves to be found, when we take off those grave clothes and come out of our internment, when we let go of that embarrassment and remorse, when there's no more hiding and no more resistance, then the walls come crashing and tumbling down, and the key falls out of the lock, and the good shepherd comes to his friends, his sheep, his church, his flock, so that what? So that we might come to believe. Good, 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 good news. That we might come to believe. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.